that tonight I'm talking about a message only preached three times, I think, so far in my life. I'd never preached it before March of this year. And I'm going to talk about that in a minute. And when I'm done, when I'm done preaching and teaching, whatever I do, then I'm going to pray for the pastors and ministers here. I'm going to pray for my partners, if you're a partner with me. And I'm going to pray for the children. That's my role tonight. Then I'm going to ask Pastor Debbie if she has something, Pastor Dennis if he has something, and Pastor Keith, and their wives, of course, you know, to help me if they got something by the Holy Ghost to do beyond what I'm going to do. I learned this from Dr. Dufresne and Brother Hagin. You can't do everything yourself. That's the problem with preachers. We try to do it all, and we begin to not be anointed in any specific area because we try to put it all in one service. So, anyway, and I believe you're going to follow me tonight. Let me just say this. I have been very reluctant to talk about money to the church because people get so skittish. Yeah. Yeah. You know, people get things, and I'm not throwing this at you, but if it's you, listen to me. Yeah. Yeah. You think so small. That if I told you how much I paid for my car, I rented an airplane, that might choke you. You go, my God, I'm not giving him a dime more. Well, if that's the way you feel, then don't give me anything. But I'm just being honest with you. So I have purposely drew back from saying much to any crowd again, you know, about finances. But something changed in March. Now, let me go back to December and November of 2019. This is how I operate. You know, everybody's different. I'm just telling you how I function. I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, is there anything I need to share that I'm not sharing to the church? Because I'm a church guy. I don't just stay in a local church. I'm a prophet, and you have to circulate. And every church is different I go to. Some I can help more. Some I can't help much at all. Some it's mediocre. Yeah. But, you know, they have to learn how to receive me. Amen. The pastors that understand the prophetic office could help me if they taught on it before I got there.
Yeah.
And whatever, I don't want to go down that trail too deep. But anyway, so I said to the Lord, what do you want me to do? Anything you don't want me to teach about? He may have a different agenda than I'm thinking.
Yeah.
He said, well, on Sunday mornings, Michael, if you're in a church, local church, I want you to teach about fatherhood and good sons and daughters because that pastor needs you to teach it so the sheep can grow up into that and be good sheep. You know, some people are sheep, some are not good sheep.
Yeah.
Some aren't sheep at all.
Not at all. Yeah.
They're goats and wolves even.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I'm not mad at anybody. I'm not trying to get you. I'm just talking. If you just let me talk and don't put brakes on me, you'll get more out of this.
Amen. Amen.
So I'm in Mexico City. Pastor Rosmo, raise your hand, and Myrna and Mimi Jr. These three, when I got to Mexico City, they said, Doctor, we want you to ride in our car to the hotel. It's about a 30-minute drive. And the rest of the crew that was with me, which I think was Dennis and Pastor Mark and Pastor Cody, I think. You guys went with Erasmo Jr., I think. So we get in the car and we start down the road, and Pastor Erasmo says, I want to ask you something. I said, sure, if I can answer it. He said, well, as you know, we started tithing to you from our church. And we'd like to tell the whole church that on Sunday morning and present you with our tithe. What do you think about it? I said, I think it'd be great. Because, now listen to me, because it'll show your people you're not selfish.
Right, right.
It'll put me and you in a different light and in our covenant relationship because,
yeah.
Listen, because money's involved.
Yeah.
It's not the amount, it's the money and the heart of it.
Exactly.
And some churches can do more for me and some can do the same by what is percentage,
yeah.
But the amount may be higher or lower depending on that group.
Right.
Anyway, so I said, I think that'd be great. And maybe something else I said to him. And then I said to him, well, you know, I wanted to ask you a question. Can I give you a raise or something? Could I be on your board or something? And normally I don't do that. But he said, well, I'll tell you the truth, Dad. I've been coming up ever since I first met you. Now, what you said to me, Pastor Rosmo. He said, and that was 18 years ago, something like that, more or less. And he said, I've just kept coming up because of my relationship with you.
Amen, amen.
Now, see, now you got to understand, I didn't get all puffed up about that. I said, well, praise God, it's working.
Yes, that's right.
Just like what Pastor Mark was trying to tell you.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Amen.
So anyway, I go to the hotel. We start on a Friday night, Saturday, Sunday. Comes to Sunday morning. I know he's going to present me with a tithe check in front of his whole church. And so I'm sitting at my desk in the hotel, and I've got my notes out on spiritual fathers, which is also a message that God gave me but didn't give it to me like the one I'm going to teach you tonight. I only have 3 or 4 messages I've gotten in 44 years like the one I'm going to preach you tonight. First one was, how far does the blood go? Then somebody's anointed to help you. There's another one or two, but this came later. So I'm sitting there looking at those notes, and I finally just tell the Father out loud in the room, it's just me, there's no grease on this, Lord. There's no anointing on this message, and you gave it to me. I'm not blaming you, but I can tell this is not floating.
Yeah.
Why don't, would you say something, please? He said, yeah, you're about to teach the wrong thing. I want you to teach something you never taught before. Piece of paper right by me. Okay, my pen's in hand. Go.
Yeah.
And he said to me, I don't think you understand what's happening here, Michael. I said, evidently not by that comment. I'd like you to elaborate. He said, it's easy. Well, you've been traveling for 35 years all over the world, over 110 mission trips. You've spent $400,000 to send yourself somewhere that I had to believe beyond just my airplane and of staff to pay salaries to and insurance and all that goes with it, lights and everything. And he said, you gave $1.5 million to 2 million to missionaries. Several of them didn't do you right, but that's all right. You gave it in good faith. But this is the first time in your life that some preacher from another country wanted to tithe to you. This is significant today, Michael. And I want you to tell the people it's significant. I want you to be bold with them. So I've started to catch on then. Well, yeah, this is significant. I hadn't really thought about it quite like that. You know, these are other pastors are all in the United States. But I've got a man of God in another country now that wants to support me instead of me just supporting him. I do support him, but that's not the issue. He wants to help take care of me. We sat in the lobby of the hotel one day, those three, Myrna and Mimi, that's her daughter, and Pastor Russell. And they began to weep and cry and said, you know, we love you so much, we want to help you financially. That was about 2 or 3 years ago. I don't remember the timing. And said, you're the only man that ever called when my wife had cancer twice. And you've called and checked on her and different things, you know, and prayed for her. And he said, I've been in the ministry 40 years, he told me. Well, he's been here this time. I've been in the ministry 40 years and nobody acted ever concerned for me but you in my life. Now think about how lonely a pastor would be without somebody to love on him and care about his family. Not care about the money, just care about them as people. That's one of the chiefest things I learned from Dr. Dufresne. He loved people. And a lot of them didn't do him right, but he just loved them in spite of it. Hallelujah. I'm going to take my time because you need to hear this tonight. And so God gave me some stuff and he said, you know, I want you to write this down. I had no scriptures written down. I mean, I got a blank piece of paper. This is the paper that I wrote it on. Anyway, I'm calling it The Prophet and Prosperity, but it was originally called Funding Your Man of God's Vision. So I want you to go to 2 Chronicles 20. And that one trip from the airport to the hotel was a monumental trip for me that day. And I still didn't see it until God told me what was really happening. Hallelujah. I wonder about some of the older generals, like Brother Kenneth E. Hagin. How many people claimed that he was their father?
Yeah.
I wonder how many of them tied to him. They went out and built big churches, and the word of faith was flourishing. I doubt very few of them.
Yeah.
That's my take on it. What I know. I know some personal things. I'm not at liberty to tell you, but just whatever. Oral Roberts. I don't get it how a man of his caliber built a university, built a secular thing, built a hospital. My God, I don't know of anybody that's done something like that near us but him that was Christian, and I got benefits. I went to the City of Faith. They treated me for nothing. I didn't have to pay them a dime. You're a pastor? I said, yes, sir. You come and we'll treat you the best we know how. And they did. And nobody near us offered that but Oral Roberts. And when he got old, I heard Benny Hinn say he was paying Oral a salary. Benny Hinn. See, the body of Christ, we're so far behind in this. And I'm not mad at you about it, but I'd like you to grow up with me a little bit. And I'm not saying that to get your money. If you feel like that, just keep it. But I'm trying to help you see a scriptural mandate that came from God to me. And he said, so when I first preached it down there, I thought, well, I'm not going to preach it in America.
Come on.
And Lord said, I want you to preach it in America, but I want you to preach it only in the churches that tithe to you. Because you're still right if you preach it wherever, but those pastors who don't understand this will think you're trying to manipulate them.
Right, amen.
You know, God's just smarter than you and me. All these years, 44 years, said very little about money for me personally, ever. Pastor Dennis is the one that said to me, you thought about partnership, Dad, back in Peru like 15 or 20 years ago. And I said, nope. I didn't want to fool with it. Again, because people think I'm trying to get their money. I'm over that now. You can give me whatever you want. I'll spend it. And I'll do things for God with it. I'm not talking about me personally. You know, God takes care of me. But let's start this, get some word in us since you, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 20. And they rose early in the morning, went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. Let's go down to the bottom of this verse 20. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. And I'm just doing this for emphasis. He didn't say believe your pastors. But you should. Didn't say believe in the teachers, but you should. But this is interesting here. And of course, the prophet was the main ministry gift in the Old Testament. But I'm just doing stuff for emphasis. I hope you're paying attention. Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper. I looked it up in all kinds of translation, and it means prosper. And literally, this is what the word means in the Hebrew, to push forward, to be profitable. To cause to effect things. My ministry is to push you forward. You know, some of you don't like to be pushed at all. You push back on me, you don't get nothing. I'm not offended. If you want to be like that, just keep it. Keep doing that. But you're not going to get nothing if you keep pushing back. I'm called and I have anointing to push you forward. Pastor Mark just said it. I would have never said it if he hadn't already said it. He was at an airport with me, and he sat down and said, I got something. Can I share something with you? I said, yeah, I need my Bible. I got my Bible out. And he was talking about praying in tongues. It isn't like I don't know nothing about that. I've been doing it every day of my life since May of 78. And I said, my God, you got to put that in print, Mark. That's Pastor Mark. That's revelation. He wrote his first book. I recommend it. I carry it with on my book table. It's excellent. Praying in tongues. You'd think everybody spirit-filled would know that, but they don't. He knew something I didn't know. He knew some things from a different level of looking at it, and he's fed me. Hallelujah. I learned to be a good receiver as well as a good giver. It says to push you forward, to make you profitable, and to cause you, listen to me, to affect things. See, that's part of the prophet's ministry. I know this is Old Testament. Do I need to take you to Hebrews 8 and 6? You're under a better covenant. So whatever this prophet could do, I should be able to do that and then some. Because I'm in a better covenant than he was. He didn't have the blood of Jesus. Oh, he didn't have that. He didn't have the name of Jesus. Here's another translation of this verse 20. Have faith in his prophets and all will go well for you. Here's another one. This is my favorite, to Jerusalem. Have faith in his prophets and you will be successful. Hallelujah. So let's start down this trail now. This is the scriptures. He didn't give me this one or the next one, but I'm going to tell you. Matthew 10. Go over there with me to Matthew 10 and look at this over here. You with me so far? I'm going to slow down. I'm running too fast on you inside, internally. I've got to slow it down so I don't miss nothing. I got so excited when God was talking in that hotel room, I like to just got up and ran around. He said, you don't understand, this is the first time in your life this has ever occurred like this. And I want you to preach this to this church because this is the only church that did that on the foreign field. You got to understand, you know, we figured up one time between 1.5 million and 2 million, didn't we, Donna? Over the lifetime of this church, we sent to missionaries, some of which stole my offerings. And a lot of them got mad because they wrote the book Spiritual Fathers and said, I don't want nothing to do with you anymore, Dr. Jacobs. I said, well, my hands are clean. I've done nothing but love you. Bye-bye. Hey, I hate to see you go, but you didn't act like that when you're bleeding to death on the field. And I prayed for you and God healed you. Or you got in trouble with your taxes and I bailed you out. Let's talk about, no, I'm not going to talk about it. You'd be surprised. Some of you think you know something. You don't know much at all about real ministry and how real people act towards ministers. Because you're not in my shoes. So I'm not throwing that at you. I'm just telling you the truth. Just so, because I know you don't know. But I just kept on going. I'm just a stay with it guy. You know. I determined nobody, I'm not going to let anybody knock me out of my race. I don't care who it is. All right, thank you, Anthony. In Matthew 10, verse 40, I'm not mad at you. I'm just riled up about some of this as I'm talking here because I've seen where people forfeited. They had a calling, they had a gifting, and I was endorsing them and blessing them and loving them and praying for them and financing them, and they just doo-dooed all over me for nothing. You know, I said, I put all the scriptures in that book. You just read the scripture. You're not mad at me. You're mad at the Bible. Let's get it straight. Okay. If you don't want to be a son to me, that's fine. But I didn't ask you to be a son. I just wrote the book because God told me to write it. And the Lord told me when I wrote it, he said, you're going to catch a lot of flack over this. Go ahead and write it. You're ahead of the time on this book. He didn't say that about any of the other books. Anyway. He that receiveth, verse 40, you with me, Matthew 10, he that receives you receives me, or Jesus. He that receives me, Jesus, receives him that sent me, God. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. He that receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall in no wise lose his reward. So he mentions three different situations there, and I was reading that because Dr. Dufresne taught on it for 10 years. I don't mean just that, but he'd always refer to that, and I'd go over there with him, and I started meditating a lot more on it. See, I was learning from him, paying attention on my notes, and I kept coming back over this. And one day I was reading this, and the Lord said, you ever thought, Michael, that this is all the same person? Just perceived three different levels by three different people. Now, if you want to call me Mike, I'm not responding. My name's Michael, not Mike. But I'm not responding to you. And all you'll get is Mike. If you feel like you can call me Mike or you call Pastor Jordan, you should call him Pastor. By his gifting. And you'll start getting more out of him than just Jordan. I'm not bragging about anything. I'm just telling you what I learned over the years. I always treated Dr. Dufresne. Listen, I never, ever made him my buddy. He was the father. I was the son. He was the teacher. I was the disciple. You see, I was the learner. And I made myself do that on purpose. I never high-fived him. I never called him Ed. I didn't bring my phone to lunches. Where many preachers that said they were sons would get up and answer the phone five times in one lunch period. I don't know what's wrong with people. Come on. You call somebody your father and you let everybody else dictate your time and they're your spiritual father. Says, and we had some of the most marvelous, powerful conversations. And the Simons know that too. I've been to their church when Dad was there. And you know, with different things, you know? And really the prophet, if you do this, sometimes I do more when I'm just with people than in the pulpit. Anyway, no, I don't want a lunch appointment with you either. But now, listen, these are three different perceptions of the same human being. Because Jesus said, you ever thought that was just one person perceived? And I said, no, but I'm going to from now on because you're talking to me. So if the prophet's reward, this is what I'd say about, I'll say about it right now. The prophet's reward is your heart's desire. And I'm not going to turn there now, but in 2 Kings 4, when the lady couldn't have a baby, and she'd built a condo. I know they make it seem like a treehouse in our modern, but Pastor Cody did a great job on that in his book that he wrote, The Prophet Honor Connection. He talks about that condo this lady built. Says she was a large lady. She wasn't heavy set. She had a lot of money. And she had all the conveniences of the day, modern for him. And ever he came by there, he stopped in to eat a meal and rested. And he said, what is to be done for you? He told his servant, what's to be done for this lady? You need to know the king? She said, no, I'm paraphrasing. No, I know the king personally. I know all the people. And Gehazi found out, I think that's a servant, said she can't have a baby and she's old now. And her husband's old too. So he called her, and she stood in the doorway, and he said, by this time next year, you're going to embrace his son. And she kind of got riled up. She said, don't play with me, preacher. Yeah,
that's right.
That was a soft spot in her heart.
Yeah, right.
She'd wanted a baby of her own all of her life, and she hadn't been able to produce it. But the prophet said, she kind of responded like, you better not be fooling with me.
That's right.
Fire came out of her eyes, I think. Anyway. But she got the son, and even after the son passed away, he raised him up.
Yeah, yeah.
See, that was her heart's desire. The pastor, listen to me carefully here, you can learn something. See, in my book on spiritual fathers, there's five things happen when you have a real pastor and you're a real sheep.
Yeah.
You will increase, you'll become fruitful. The pastor will get rid of the fear in you if you listen to him. He'll get rid of the discouragement in you, and he'll keep you from lacking. My ministry's not quite like that. But the prophet can get you into your heart's desire. Now, listen to me. Don't ever send you shouldn't send prophets your tithe. I don't care who teaches what. I don't agree with that. The local church deserves a tithe of the sheep. But you can send an offering. I'm just talking about me or anybody else you want to support. Or if you want to tithe to a TV preacher, you call him when you're sick next time. Don't bother us. When you get a bad report, you got 6 months to live, call him, see if he's coming. I'm just the real deal, baby. I'm not going to take it back. And I told the people in Pastor Erasmo's church that day, I said, if you don't tithe, I'm not talking to you. You can sit and listen to me, but you don't qualify for what I'm teaching.
Come on.
But God told me to tell him. Did you really say that? I really said that. I said, you can go sit in the car if you want, because you don't qualify. Unless you're willing to get a tithe together and give it to this pastor before we leave this building today, this message is not for you. Because you don't qualify. Well, I didn't come thinking he's going to say that. There's a lot I'm going to say. Here's my point with Matthew. You've got to receive people at the highest level that God has anointed them to be, and then you'll get the most out of their mantle. You follow me?
Yeah.
You know, some people come to me and just all kinds of stuff. Like the gentleman that I read his report this morning.
Yeah.
My goodness, his body was filled with cancer. He had a big tumor on his chest. And his adrenals were all messed up, his kidneys. And they put him in a CAT scan after the day or two after I prayed for him. He's clean.
Hallelujah.
The tumor's gone.
Yeah.
Well, see, that's part of my mantle. But I can't do that for everybody if they don't believe it. Well, I'm going to come up there and see what you can do. You might as well stay seated.
Yeah.
I can't do much. But if you come with the attitude, I know Dr. Jacobs has in his mantle a healing endowment.
Yes.
That the time I've been around him, if anybody ever paid attention, would realize that's developed and that's expanded and that's enlarged.
Amen.
You know, you can say healing, but healing, there's a lot to healing.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, come on, let's go to Luke here, Luke 5. We'll get down. These are the main scriptures that God gave me. We can get over this another 20 minutes or so. Luke chapter 5, and these were the scriptures that God gave me about this. He said, there's something about the prophet when people reach out to help them accomplish their vision. And Jesus, you know, number one was a preacher. He was an apostle, an evangelist, a prophet, and teacher, and pastor, the whole thing. He said, I'm the good shepherd and so forth. So he's by this sea here with Simon Peter. And verse 3, he entered into one of Simon's ships, his boats, Simon, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. He sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch into the deep and let down your nets for a draught or a haul of fish. That's a big haul of fish. And Simon answering said, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. He's talking back. Nevertheless, it's your word, I'll let down the net. And I realized when I read this, studied it out, you can't catch fish in the daytime. They can see the net in that particular place where they fish. So when this was done, it said, I will let down the net. And when this was done, verse 6, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. That tells me they didn't even put a good net in.
Yeah.
They probably had an old net that wasn't washed and it was weak. I'll pacify Jesus. Put in a net. Not going to put in nets. I'll just put in one. It's old anyway. What harm would it be? And they beckoned unto their partners. Now, this is the key. If you're in a local church, that's why I'm teaching it here, because this is my home base. And if you're tithe here, then you need to be, you're the partners with Pastor Jordan. And you tithe to me. The church does. I didn't make that decision. The board here made it. You know, the people who are on the legal board of the church. I didn't ask them for that. They said, you're getting older. We want to give you a retirement deal kind of thing. Thanks. I could use it. I didn't ask him, though. But what I'm trying to show you, see, you're a partner, and even though you didn't make that decision, this is critical. You get to, you didn't have nothing to do with it, nor should you have. This is not a democracy. Just because you're Americans, you're brainwashed. Your vote does count, but not in the church. We're not going to vote on the color carpet. My God, we'd have 17 different flavors of carpet in here. I know you. We'd never get a wall painted. You'd argue and throw paint at each other until you're ready to hit somebody in the head with a hammer. My point is, you don't even have to make a decision. The board made the decision, and Jordan approved of it. You know, not because he's my son, because he's smart. And he wanted to bless his dad who helped create this, you know, get this established. I didn't do it without God, but God didn't do it without me. Okay. And so my point is, you see, your partners, because some of the money you give as you tithe here comes to me. And it goes in a different way, but it gets to me. And because of that, you're covered as a partner with me in that sense. Now, others take on public, personal responsibility and want to send me $30 a month or $300 a month or $3 a month and 75 cents a month. Some of the kids do that. And I receive everything as the same. If you give me a quarter a month, you give me $1,000 a month. I'm going to treat you the same way. You're still a partner, and I pray for you every day. See, God's got this worked out. So it says here, look at verse 7, and they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they both began to sink. See, there's an abundance of provision when you help the man of God fulfill. Jesus needed a place, a platform to preach off of, and he was right up next to the river's bank, and people were on the sand. He said, put your boat out a little bit, and I could talk better and sit down and preach to the people. And Peter said, okay. So he let him use his boat, and he got not only a fish, a boat sinking load of fish, all his partners got that too. See, I'm trying to help you to think bigger. I just told you what the pastor could do for you because he's got a different mantle than me.
Exactly. Amen.
But if you give to a prophet, you could get your heart's desire. Now, you got to live right. You can't live like the devil. Expect any of it to work. How many know that? Do I need to tell you that? Okay. Just want to be sure you're with me. Some people think there's nothing, no restraint. Just do whatever you want and then claim the best. That don't work too good. This is a covenant. God is in it to help us. All right, so let's go to 1 Kings 17. Hallelujah. You getting anything yet? All right, 1 Kings 17 is the other, is one of the other. I got another passage or two. 1 Kings 17. This is the prophet Elijah, and he told him to go to a certain place, you know. And he drank water from the brook, and the if I remember right, it says the birds brought him meat every day to eat. And so, you know, but he stayed there, and I think it's, let me look here. Verse 7, it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up. I'm going to tag this on to Pastor Keith's message this morning. If you don't change, you're going to dry up. I don't mean change churches. I mean, if you want to change, I guess go ahead. I don't know what to tell you, but what I mean is you've got to change with God to do what he's doing when he's doing what he's doing, not what you think it is. Because everything around you will dry up. If you don't change and move with him when he's telling you to do something. I know, and some people see, even our church people, some of you thought I just didn't like you, so I decided to travel. That is the biggest bunch of junk you've ever thought.
Amen, amen.
I'm traveling because I want to live.
Yeah, that's right.
It's going to cost me my life.
Exactly.
If I'm not going to be obedient to God.
Amen.
Might as well give him the finger and tell him whatever.
Yeah.
If you're not going to obey him.
Yeah.
I'm talking some truth here. Just so you know why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I'm not. There's no glory about it. I'm not Hollywood. Put your stuff in a bag and zip it up and send it on a plane, ride somewhere, live in all kinds of hotels and stuff. Even the better hotels, they just smell better and a little cleaner, but they're still just a hotel room. Not complaining, just helping you to see that. I think some people got a Hollywood mentality about it. I'm not a big shot anywhere. I'm just Michael, and I'm doing what God told me to do, the best I could do with what I'm doing. And I don't complain about it. From sleeping on a cot fighting bugs to being in a very nice hotel that's got good food. Hallelujah. So anyway, everything began to dry up because God said, I've prepared a woman over in this other city here, Zarephath, verse 9. I've commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. And he went and got over there and he told this lady, he saw her going by, and he said, fetch me, verse 10. I pray thee a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he said, bring me, I pray, a little morsel of bread in your hand. And she said, as the Lord God liveth, I have not a cake, verse 12, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat it and die. She's thinking dying. God said he's provided this person to take care of him, and she's got dying on her mind. That's why you need the prophet.
Yeah, that's right.
A lot of people got the wrong attitude in their mind. But the prophet said to her, watch this. Of course, the tabloids in that day were going rampant down at 7-Eleven. Elijah, the great prophet, stole that widow woman's last piece of bread. Meanie prophet. Verse 13, Elijah said unto her, fear not. In other words, don't be afraid, lady. Listen, get that fear out of your life. And go and do as you have said, but make me thereof a little cake first. See, this is about the profit and prosperity. Just give me a little piece of something first. And then it says, bring it unto me and after make for you and your son. In other words, he already knew there was going to be more coming, that she'd have enough for her and her boy. Verse 14, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sends rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah. And she and he, the prophet, and her house, her son, did eat many days. And I looked it up in the Hebrew, and it's in a footnote here. She ate food for one entire year because she gave the prophet one meal. Every day she'd go in there and there'd be more meal in the barrel. Every day there'd be more oil to cook it in. It kept replenishing itself every day for at least 1 year. That's over 1,000 meals at 3 meals a day. And she sold just a little piece to him the first time. See, God's paying them back. Remember the fishes? Now we got all these meals coming back because the prophet, God has a priority. There's something about the prophets. I don't understand everything about it, but we're special to God. Touch not my prophets, do my prophets no harm. There's been a lot of people who did me harm verbally. I don't have to pray against any of them. I don't pray against anybody for any reason. I mean, if they want to dig their own hole, they can fall in it. I don't want them to fall. I'd like them to repent and get right before judgment comes. But, you know, this is not church like usual. I don't know where you grew up, but this is a whole nother deal. We're all trying to come into something beyond where we've been. You want the miracles? Oh, yeah. You want the healing? Yeah, I want the money too. Okay, but you got to do what I'm saying too. You got to grow up in your mentality that it's not just church, take it or leave it. I'll come when it's convenient and I'll stay home when I don't want to come. And you've got to change all that to put him as number one. God, I'm talking about God, what he has said to do. I'm preaching real good, not getting much response, but all right. Now let's go to the third passage he talked to me about. It's in Genesis. Let me go over here. Genesis 14. I'd like to spend more time, but my time's running out. Genesis 14. And we'll look at Abraham here in his life. Abraham is such a key person to us in the New Testament. I hope you realize that, and I'm going to show you that before we get done today. But, you know, he was very, very wealthy. And I know that he was that because he tithed. But, you know, what happened is his nephew, went to Lot. He went to a very bad place. And because he didn't want to stay under submission to his uncle, his uncle said, well, you take whatever part of the land you like. You like that? Take it. You like that? Take it. I'll take whatever's left. How much more could you do? I don't know. But he made a very bad decision. He got down there and he wanted to give his girls to homosexuals. And then his girls got him drunk and had babies by him. Well, it's a mess. That's part of the problem with the Middle East today. What came out of that? Anyway, Melchizedek, let's just call him Mel. He was the priest of the Most High. So he was the one man in the earth right then that we know of that represented God Almighty, the God we serve today, same God, Jehovah God, El Shaddai God, God Almighty God, not some God of the heathens. And so anyway, they took Lot away. They took all the women away. They took all the children away. Took all the stuff away from Sodom and bankrupt the whole city. Yeah, you know, I mean, I went to Columbia one time, and they said there's 300 gunmen come in, just take over a city, kill every policeman in town, do whatever they please, because nobody could defend them against 300 armed guys that's got millions of dollars that sell dope. And the pastor there on the field said there was 100,000 people leaving Bogota a day during that time because they were scared. All right, just have to bring you up to date. I know you don't care about Bogota, but anyway, it's a real city, and it was really happening. Yeah. Anyway, verse 18, and Mel, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God, and he blessed him. Now watch this. The priest blessed Abraham and said, blessed be Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. It doesn't say God is possessor of heaven and earth in that verse. It says Abraham is possessor of heaven and earth. Why? Because he has a covenant with God. What Pastor Mark was teaching, whatever's God's is mine, whatever's mine's is his. My time is his, my money's his, my life is his, my words need to be in agreement with his word, my mind needs to get renewed to his plan, my body needs to function in accordance with the way he told me to live, and so forth and so on. You with me? Said, blessed be him, and blessed be Abraham, the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be the Most High God, which has delivered your enemies into your hand, and he gave him tithes of all. I don't think that was the first time he did that, but it indicates, see, Abraham gave tithes of all. Now, listen to me. I know people get controversial. I don't know why you would. I'm just trying to help you. If you get $500 for your birthday, you got $500 income.
That's right. Yeah. That's exactly right.
If he gave tithes of all, he tithed on that.
Yeah.
If somebody gave him $100, if somebody gives me money, I always tell her. Yeah. Diana, my wife, because she's the accountant for us. They rarely know me at the bank, you know, because I sign the checks and she cashes them. She's more than a conqueror. He gave him tithes of all. I want you to think about that as I go on with this teaching here. And the king of Sodom said unto Abram, give me the persons and you can have all the goods to yourself. And Abram said to the king of Sodom, verse 22, I have lift up my hand. This is a covenant comment. I lift up my hand to the Lord, the Most High God, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will not take from a thread, even to a shoe latchet, that I will not take anything that's yours, lest you should say, I made Abram rich.
Come on.
Well, that's a stout covenant talk. God makes me rich. God provides for me. And he does provide. I say that every day. I have a supply. And just said, and then Abraham went on, save only that which the young men that have eat, that may they eat, the portion of the men that went with me, because they fought, hazarded their lives. I'm reading that into that for you to get all your people back, plus my nephew. And he said you could give them a meal. But see, here's the problem. We stop at the end of chapters. I'm going to show you another one. We think he's done talking because I'm looking for the key to this thing. And read on here, verse 1 of chapter 15. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision. And if you want to stay tomorrow night and come, I'm going to talk to you about visions that I've had. Maybe not all of them, but several. I think it'll help you. Said that he had a vision, and the Lord said, fear not, Abram, I am your shield and thy exceeding great reward. Brother, if God tells you he's your reward, honey, you got it made. I mean, you may think Bill Gates has got a little something, or the guy over Walmart or Kmart or something. I don't know, not Kmart, but anyway. Yeah. Or some of those guys, the Apple people. They have no idea what I'm talking about. He said, I'll be your reward. God's talking to Abram here. So see, he gave tithes of all, and before it turned around, he had a vision. God said, I will be your reward. Yeah. Are you listening to me? Okay. Now, let's go over here. So don't quit reading at the end of the chapter. Yeah. Go on through and see if it pertains to what we're saying. Now, look over here to Genesis 24 and look at this. Now, I'm just about done. Just a few more scriptures. Do we have to look at them? It's important that we do today. I'm trying to get something to you, not something from you. And Abraham was old, verse 1. Genesis 24, Abraham was old, well stricken in age. He wasn't well stricken with Alzheimer's. And I'm not making fun of that. My mother had that. When she passed, she didn't even recognize me. And the Lord had blessed Abraham in what? All things? All things. So that would mean his finances, his mind, his body, his family, everything that he touched. The Lord had blessed him in all things. And now he's, you know, an old man, 170 some years old or whatever. But see, God gave me him as an example from Psalm 91 where it says, you know, with long life will I satisfy thee. That word satisfy means to be taken care of in every area of your life. Yeah. I said, could I use Abraham? He said, you sure could. That's the way I want to go home. But now remember, he did what? Just to remind you quickly, he tithes on everything. When it came down to decisions, he gave other people choices that it looked like he was sitting the short end of the stick. But you can't keep a covenant man down. Here's my son right here. They persecuted him as a black man at work. I never looked at him as a black man. I looked at him as my covenant brother. I don't care what color you are or what nationality you come from. Don't make a bit of difference to me. If you love God, I'm in there with you. We went and had lunch, and he was just giving me some of the deal. I said, just remember this, they can't keep a covenant man down. It's just like they took a bobber out in the middle of the ocean. The further down they pulled that thing, the higher up you're going to shoot. And he did. He came right on up to the top without defending anything himself. The people around him began to realize what quality person he was and started promoting him. Just remember that. You can't keep a covenant man down. You might think you got by with it, but you didn't. Because the further you try to pull us down, the higher we're going to ride when you turn loose. Hallelujah. Now, let's go here to Galatians a minute. And I got one more scripture after this. Because I want to talk about Abraham. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. You getting anything tonight? We're talking about the prophet and prosperity. We're talking about funding your man of God's vision. I think Pastor Debbie talked about this. When God gives you a vision, he makes provision for the vision. I'm not being cute, but that's what he does. He makes a provision for the vision. If God gave you the vision, he makes provision for it. Sometimes it may come easy. Sometimes it may come in segments. I don't know, but it always comes. God, you've been so faithful to me. Oh, Galatians 3, 13 and 14. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. And one of the curses of the law was never having enough. It was lack. You know, it was spiritual death, sickness, and lack of ability, lack of wealth. Being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangeth on a tree, that the blessing, now get this, the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive, that's all of us, the promise of the Spirit through faith. And then let's go to verse 29. This is the censure here, and I got one more verse after this. And if you be Christ, how many belong to Jesus Christ? Okay, you belong to Jesus. If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed? You see, you're not just a natural seed, but you're a spiritual seed of Abraham. Because he believed God. He believed God. We are believers today. If you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs, listen, according to the promise. So just like Abraham ended up as an old man where the Lord had blessed him in all things, we could follow that pattern. In fact, Abraham didn't really have back there the covenant we have. He's mentioned so much because of his faith in God in the covenant he did have. You know, he did some things wrong too, you know. I'm glad they don't write everything I did wrong in the Bible. How about you?
Yes.
He lied about his wife because she's good looking. God revolutionized her as an old lady. And the heathen king wanted her, and he said, that's my sister. Then his son did the same thing with his wife. Anyway, that's beside the point. But he's still a man of faith. He believed in the covenant. And I'm sure he got all that straightened out with God. And God forgave him. I want to tie you to Abraham with verse 29. The same promise God gave Abraham. And I didn't have a chance to go back to Genesis 12, but he said, if you'll come out and do what I tell you to do and go where I tell you to go, I'll bless you and take care of you.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right.
I can remember when Diane and I, we lived on a farm, and God said, I want you to go to Bible school. And I didn't want to go to Louisville. I wanted to go to Florida. But God didn't say yes to Florida. He said yes to Louisville. I didn't have anything personally against it or for it. I just wasn't interested. And he said, this is where you need to fit. I said, okay. Then I moved. Sold everything I owned, put it in a U-Haul truck with her and my dog, and we came down here. Didn't have a job. She didn't have a job. My father-in-law jumped me out in the barn that day. Not fist to cuff, but verbally. What are you doing? Are you crazy? No, I'm not, Lee. Well, why would you take my daughter and move away? You got any money saved? I got enough for 1 month's rent and a deposit. How are you going to make it? I said, I don't know, but God told me to do it. God told you to do it. Yes, God told me to do it. Now, he's a scientist. And I said, Lee, I love you. I'm not going to try to argue with you, but let me straighten out one thing. She's my wife. I know she's your daughter, and I thank you for giving her to me, and I'll take good care of her. I would never abuse her. But God told me to be in Louisville, Kentucky. That's where I'm going to be. There's a Bible school half a mile from where you live right now. I'll pay full tuition and everything, your books, everything. You never have to... I said, that's not the point, Lee. God told me to go to Louisville, and I came down and met the leader of the Bible school I went to, the seminary, and I liked him, and God said, this is where you're supposed to start. So that's where I started. Got spirit-filled in spite of being there. We didn't believe that. Reading an Episcopalian's book. See, God will lead you if you just have a heart to obey. Oh, but her dad called me just 2 weeks before he went home to be with the Lord. He said, you know, Michael, that little dispute we had in the barn that day, we had a barn sale. We didn't have a garage sale. We didn't have a garage. We lived in a farmhouse and had a barn, so we had a barn sale. And he said, you know that dispute we got into down in the barn that day, me and you? I said, yes, sir. And he said, you know, you were right. I see it on your life now, the hand of God on your life. So he saw that. Yeah. Yeah, you know, just a lot of things like my real father. You know, I didn't know him. He left when I was real young. And, you know, I was doing dope and drinking when I first got married. And he and I got along real good for a couple months. And then I got saved. And things didn't go so well. So he got me in the truck one day. He was my supervisor. He was the superintendent of the job and said, you can't talk to those men that way. I said, well, they can't talk to me the way they talk to me. He said, what do you think? You're a priest or something? I said, no, I'm a believer. I love Jesus. I wasn't smoking dope with him or drinking with him anymore. And he just railed on me for about a half hour. I couldn't jump out of the truck. He was driving. He gave it to me. This is my real dad. 13 years later, he called me. He said, Michael, you remember how I treated you that day in the pickup truck? Yeah, I do, Dad. I said, I forgave you that day. I am so sorry. I don't know why I did that. I said, it's okay. You got two grandchildren. Why don't you come see them? He never showed up. Passed away before he could come. But see, what I'm saying, see, when you know what you're doing is right, you get scuttlebutt and you get repercussions from people that don't understand what you're thinking, how you could do that and base your whole life and take somebody with you like precious Diana and move away. All right. Let me go to one last scripture. You with me? Mark chapter 10. This is the 50 minutes I've been preaching. It seems like 2 hours or something to me right now. I don't know how I did, but see, this came by revelation. That's what I was trying to say when I started. It isn't like I planned to try to seek all this out and put it together. God put it together. Those three passages, Luke, 1 Kings, and Genesis, with those three examples. When you help the man of God, God goes out of his way to take care of you. And thank you for helping me. Every one of you that's given to me in the past or gave to me in the offering tonight, thank you. I appreciate it. But we got to see, the reason I'm being a little bit hard on you tonight, not hard on you, but just hard on your thinking, we've got to break that. I'm not going to cuss, but you've got to break through that financial barrier. Listen, the devil will shove it right up in your face, and you'll never get ahead unless you listen to somebody like I'm talking right now. Your parents didn't do it. Your grandparents didn't do it. Your siblings don't do it. You can do it. You just got to get a hold of God and move with him. He's got so much to give you and help us if we just do it right. I just always like, the key to my life is this. I stay on this side of that ledger. Seed time. But it's never just seed time and harvest. Giving. But it's giving and receiving. Sowing, but it's sowing and reaping. But I don't worry about this over here. I just stay over here. Yeah. I gave away about $10,000 this week. It's not bad. Just to help us. I'm paying for this meeting. The church isn't. I mean, the church would help me if I asked them for it, but I don't need it. I'm not bragging. I'm trying to show you. And it didn't come overnight, but it comes if you stay with God's plan for your life. God will reward you. And money is really a minor thing to him compared to some other things he wants out of your life, like a prayer life, a faith life. Yeah. Yeah, thank you for that, whoever said that. Look here at Mark 10. The reason I got this is it's important to us. Verse 13 through 16. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, "Suffer, allow the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God." It sounds too nice. I don't think he was a little madder than that. But anyway, "Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And he took them up in his arms. This is the point I'm making. Put his hands upon them and blessed them. I looked that up today. I already knew what it meant in Greek, but I looked it up again for the 50th time. And it means to empower somebody to prosper and to be successful. Wow. So that's why I said, I want to give back to all my partners tonight, if you're partnering financially with me. And secondly, listen, don't ever send me your tithe. If I found out you did that, I'll have Donna cut you a check right back to you. Because I'm not a God robber. I'm not going to be accused of stealing money from the local church. But you could give me an offering. And I want to bless the partners that have partnered with me up to this point. And by laying my hands on you just like Jesus did. You know, we've heard this week from Pastor Debbie, Pastor Mark, Pastor Keith. You know, the works I do, you can do also. So he laid hands on even little children and blessed them so they would be successful. Think of that. Yeah. And be successful and prosper. Yeah. So I want to pray for all my partners. I want to pray for all the preachers. And I want to pray for the children. If you're not in that group, I don't know what to tell you. That's all I'm going to do tonight. I've ministered every night, you know, in the Spirit. And if I have something else, I'll add that to it. But I don't right now. And maybe these others will have something more to give. But, you know, we're here at meetings. Listen, come every service like you do. There's always something happening. Yeah. You know, you got to learn to pace yourself. I heard a story. Doc Summerall took Oral Roberts with him somewhere, like in India or something. And Oral insisted on laying hands on them all. He said, "Well, I'm going back to the hotel. I'll pick you up tomorrow." 30,000 people, you know. You're not a superman. You're just a man. But you have to rest and take care of yourself and minister as the Lord shows you. I'm trying to help everybody to see this. We're still in a physical body. What are you saying? I'm just saying something that you can learn something from if you care to. Just do what God tells you to do and stick into that. You'll be all right. So I would like, first of all, the partners.